This is Media Sales Mastery, the podcast for media sales professionals. In each episode, we bring you information, insights, and ideas from some of the industry's top thought leaders. Connect with us to help pick the topic and guide the show.
This is Media Sales Mastery, the podcast for media sales professionals. I am your host, Jamie Wood. Our topic today, a week in the life of the modern media sales professional. Now, in 2024, I'm taking a different approach to the Media Sales Mastery podcast. I'm not going to deviate too much, but I am going to be designing the episodes or the format and the sequence of the episodes so that they fit into a nice structured 20-episode, 10-month curriculum. The objective here is really simple. It's to provide a comprehensive, but not exhaustive, overview of the function of media sales profession. I'm going to dive into each of those individual facets. Now, this is everything from prospecting to learning about product and proposition, right through to post-sales fulfillment and professional development. It's really making sure that we kind of logically go through the different topics in the right order. Naturally, there are going to be episodes that may be more topical. Naturally, there'll be episodes where we might deviate and just kind of go down a complete different rabbit hole based on the type of guests that I might speak to. But, you know, this is very much around recalibrating the purpose as to why I started doing this podcast and me probably just reflecting over the break and going, you know, I do want to stay true to my original purpose for creating this, which was to create a podcast that I wish I had when I was navigating my first 3 years in the industry, right? That's as simple as it was. It was something that can help somebody understand the industry quickly, get some quick wins, learn how to deal with things like budget pressure and politics, and learn how to overcome things like emotional exhaustion and stress and all that. And the way that I think a lot of that stuff gets alleviated is by giving knowledge and skills and insight and tools and tips and tactics and tricks, right? A lot of the stress comes from not necessarily knowing what to do and not knowing where to find the answers. So by the end of the 20 episodes, what I would love is a documented library that every sales leader in media passionately shares with any new recruit in the industry or anybody that's looking to kind of grow their career, or maybe somebody who's just a little bit stale, maybe just needs to kind of jump into one or two episodes to reinvigorate and re-enthuse themselves. So that's it. Our guest today, I'm really excited to kick this off with this guest. He's a friend of mine. His name's Amjad Syed. He is the head of sales for Red FM. Amjad is based in Mumbai. He was actually kind enough to host me there on a recent trip to India that I did. I got a chance to check out the studios. I got a chance to meet some of the talent. We got to have a coffee and talk about the market. And what was really exciting or interesting to me was getting an understanding of Red FM as an organization, how they're innovating, how they're investing in new products and platforms. And Amjad also covered off his time working in the Middle East. He was actually one of the leaders who helped set up Virgin Radio in Muscat, Oman, which was a really interesting story and a really interesting business to hear about as well. So Amjad, as a sales leader, as a seasoned sales leader running large sales teams across, you know, multiple markets, and certainly in one of the world's largest media markets, I couldn't think of anyone better to kick off the series with. So let's get into it now.
The first five.
Amjad, welcome.
Thank you so much, Jamie.
It's been a little while since we last caught up. You were gracious enough to host me there at Red FM in Mumbai and take me for a tour around, and obviously got to hear a little bit about your experience in the world of radio and some of the markets you've worked in. Before we sort of jump into the topic, tell the audience a little bit about your background in media and your current role at Red FM.
Jamie, first of all, I'd like to thank you. It's such a pleasure, you know, talking to you on this podcast. And it was really lovely having you at our office a few months back during your visit to India. And it was nice to show you around our studios, our entire office, what are we doing, how we go about doing business here. I've been following your podcast for some time now, and I like the quality and content of things that you do. That's really good, and I'm glad to be a part of it. Thank you so much. About my media stint, I've been in media sales for the past a little over 20 years now, and I've had my stint across print publications, radio, outdoors, sports, marketing, sports, selling sports products. And it's been a great journey so far. I actually call myself an accidental media salesperson because I belong to a business family. I'm one of those first people who's actually got into a 9-to-5 corporate job. But it's been a good journey so far.
Well, you know, I think you've got a great experience base. I know you were one of the sales leaders who came in and was central to launching Virgin Radio in Muscat, Oman, for example. And I think you've done some work in the Middle East as well as extensively through India. And why I think that's really good context for today is because today we're going to be covering off the topic of an ideal week in the life of a media sales professional. You know, specifically, what kind of activities, tasks, duties, you know, rituals, what are those habits of those top performing media sales professionals that you've witnessed them incorporate into their schedule? What I would love to kind of probably dive into straight away is, you know, with media being such a fast moving dynamic industry, how important is it to have a focused and planned week and why?
The views that I'll express here has obviously been over a period of time after having spent about 20 years and having an opportunity to work with some great colleagues, some great team members, some very successful ones, learning from them, observing them. I think it's, and in the current times of our dynamic industry that we work in, it's extremely important to have a focused and a planned week. You know, a planned week will, in sales, will always provide you to identify your key priorities, you know, in the upcoming week. You know, allocate your time, resources, stay very responsive to industry changes because it's a fast-moving, fast-changing industry that we're a part of. It also allows you to have a more strategic planning approach towards things. Decision-making becomes a little more easier, which is extremely important. And I feel today, strategic thinking is not restricted to just people in senior positions. I usually encourage it. I also have team members who, at a very early stage of their careers, as frontline sales executives, have a very strategic approach mindset that they come with. And I think it really helps. And adapting to this constantly emerging opportunities that you see around you, with the advent of digital, which is the newest or the biggest monster that we are all challenged by, all the traditional mediums, it's extremely important that you have a very planned week ahead, just so that you can set your priorities right. And additionally, maintaining notes, important notes for the upcoming week can always be extremely helpful, and they'll be readily available whenever you need to engage with your clients, advertisers, advertising agencies. So making small notes is extremely crucial, to set up, for the entire week.
Absolutely. And you've worked in media across multiple different countries. I'm curious if you've seen any major variances by market, or are the fundamentals of an ideal week kind of much the same everywhere? How much does it vary by region from what you've seen?
So I had the opportunity in India when I was working with Red FM in my previous stint. I was heading the entire Western region. While I was based out of Mumbai, I used to also travel to the smaller markets across the Western region. And the fundamentals pretty much remain the same in terms of, proactive planning or client engagement. The conversations could vary depending upon which market you're in, because each market has a certain level of exposure to the amount of data, the amount of media that gets used, the manner in which it gets used. So, of course, that varies a little bit from each, in a mature market like Mumbai, where I'm currently based. There is a lot that happens over here. There's a lot of interaction of brands with various media platforms. So the ideas, the strategies are quite different. It's more corporate. Most of the corporate clients over here are exposed to a larger area of media solutions that they are actually exposed to compared to smaller markets. The smaller markets are more retail driven, more smaller businesses. So the behavior of the advertisers are very different. They're very cost sensitive as compared to large markets like Mumbai, or in the Middle East, a market like Dubai. If I would compare again my short stint in Oman, in Muscat when I was there, again, in terms of media work planning or media planning, pretty much remained the same. Proactive planning pretty much remained the same. I think the only difference between the two markets was the pace at which we worked. Of course, in India, in Mumbai, the pace was much faster. in the Middle East in a market like Oman was a little slower comparatively. But the market was definitely open to newer ideas, you know, more opportunities. And a brand like Virgin saw a great opportunity of coming into the Middle East and spreading their footprint beyond the UAE, which they had been in for a long time. And I believe after even now, as we, you and I speak, I think it's very well set now in Oman, and Virgin Radio is doing extremely well. And a very well-received product in the market.
It's a really good example where you're talking about working for a major established publisher across multiple markets, the difference in maybe working in a smaller, more regionalized market, or working in a brand new media brand where maybe that established business and those sets of systems and processes might not exist. And it just shows how much variability there is in the world of media sales, depending on the type of organization you're in and the life stage of that. I'm really keen to get into this, so let's jump into the main topic.
Media Sales Mastery.
Let's start at the beginning. It's Sunday night. I know in the Middle East, they don't necessarily follow the Monday to Friday work week, although I hear that may be changing. But it's Sunday night. You're about to enter the week ahead. How does a media sales professional set the intention for the week ahead? How do they ensure that they, you know, hit that working week in the right mindset?
Well, for me, the biggest challenge when I was in the Middle East was to wake up on a Sunday morning and get back to work. and that was quite a challenge. But now a lot has changed in the Middle East as well. They do follow, at least some parts of the Middle East do follow, a Monday to Friday work week with weekends being Saturday and Sunday. But having said that, I think to set the tone or to set the mood right for the upcoming week, the weekends usually play an extremely crucial role. As much as, you know, I always encourage and I personally try to see that I'm well rested on the weekend, but an occasional email, checking in on some emails, preparing for the week to come can always be beneficial. And in my own experience, what I have gone about, at least in the past few years, it's the best time to actually read up on any industry updates, trends, some research material. You know, this definitely helps in formulating your conversations for any pitches, any larger pitches that you may know you would be up for in the week to come, to use that in your conversation. It's extremely important. And I think weekends gives you those, or Saturday and Sundays will give you that best opportunity to put your thoughts together. And you know, come up with an extremely solid pitch for at least those few important meetings that you are looking forward to, which are on the verge of a closure or going to the next stage, you know, in terms of ideation. So it's extremely important. Hence, I think weekends should be really well spent in some sort of knowledge building. It's extremely important. Formulating your conversations, your pitches, etc. I mean, I personally feel communication planning is very crucial, and I think the best time to do it is over the weekend, because once you hit Monday, I think once you're neck deep in your day-to-day routine, it's very difficult to then, you know, be able to think differently or think beyond the scope of work that you're in actually involved. So it's extremely important.
Yeah, I think that's a really great point, and I agree. I think it's sometimes a taboo topic to suggest that you should be doing work things on the weekend in some cultures, but it's ultimately up to the individual and what they feel is appropriate. I completely agree with you. I remember particularly starting out, you know, even something as simple as reading the Saturday and Sunday newspaper and reading the business section and just staying across what's happening there, scrolling through LinkedIn, looking at your clients' pages, spending time to read about a different industry, listening to a podcast on a different industry. These are all things that are actually going to inform and enrich and increase your level of awareness. And I think that some of it is leisure time as well. I mean, some people are actually quite inquisitive and just enjoy learning. But I think, to your great point, the weekend is always going to be the opportunity where there is more time protected for those things. I think when you get stuck into the week, despite the best of intentions, it's very difficult to schedule an hour of uninterrupted time to sit down and read an industry blog or to do research on a client. So that's a fantastic point.
Can I add one more point, Jamie? Something that's always worked for me, I'm a big believer in visualization, you know, and it's always helped me whenever I'm preparing for a big meeting or a client meeting where we are making a big pitch of an idea from probably, you know, some integrated solutions where it's not just about radio. We're also using radio. We're using digital as a medium, as a touch point. Visualizing meetings has always helped me. It has always given me an opportunity to not only work on my pitch, my communication, and how I'm going to manage the entire conversation, but also to be able to control the entire meeting. And I'm of the belief that visualizing a conversation sometimes, or very often, helps extremely well in terms of how do you start your meeting, where do you start from the moment you enter a conference room till the time you shake hands across the table. I think once you're able to master that, once you're able to visualize your conversation, it kind of really helps in planning well, planning your timing well, what needs to be spoken well. And that's something that over the years has helped me. And obviously this has also been, out of observation of many of my own mentors that I have followed, some of my own seniors who I've seen extremely successful, and observing them, the manner in which they go about their work. So again, this is one of those things that I've learned over the years.
I think that's a fantastic observation. And I think you're right. There's an expression I used to love that a former sales leader used to share, which was either you're running the day or the day's running you. And it really speaks to that point around, are you going in to any scenario, be it a meeting, be it a day of work, with a focused, intentional plan, you know, that you've mentally prepared for and that you've, to your great point, you've visualized as well. Let's say we're in the hustle and bustle of the working week, you know, so we've had a great weekend, maybe we've spent it being quite productive, we feel rested, now we're officially into the working week. Just broadly speaking, how much of the week should be spent internally in the building versus externally out in market in front of clients? I know there's going to be some variables here that might make this shift either way, but just broadly speaking, what do you think is the right mix?
Jimmy, again, I'm speaking from experience and again from observation of a lot of fantastic teammates and colleagues that I've worked with over the years. This is always going to vary, but the typical range, my senses say, and that's something that's worked for me, has been a 60 to 80% externally and about 30 to 20% internally. That again depends on your role, the level of your or the level at which you are working. If you're a frontline executive, if you're a frontline sales executive, then I would encourage such a person to be more up and about, be more out in the market, make more presentations, have more conversations, create more relationships, because at the end of the day, two most important things in media sales is relationship and your communication skills. How well are you able to articulate your ideas, your thoughts, and added to that, if you have a fantastic relationship, I think it's just easy after that. Even if in terms of investments can always be discussed, commercials and monies can always fall in place. Once you've nailed that relationship with a client and backed with extremely good communication skills, I think it's extremely important. And I think that can only happen if you are in front of the client regularly, constantly out, having those conversations, consistently going out and speaking about your brand and product. As monotonous it may sound, doing the same thing over and over again, but I think success comes only once you're able to do the same thing over and over again repeatedly. You just get better at it. Now, having said that, I'm a firm believer again that internal activities and client facing engagement in media sales is always based on personal preferences as well. Like I said, the common approach again should be to allocate a significant portion of your work externally. Focusing mainly on your client interactions, your relationships, your presentation skills. Again, depending if you're someone who is junior, like I mentioned already, you should spend more time out in the market. Consistency is key to any success. The remaining time can always be dedicated to internal tasks, strategic planning, research, preparing your proposals, your presentations. Very important to collaborate with your internal teams. The specific balance depends on the factors like complexity of your media offering, In case you have a large pitch where there are multiple stakeholders, both internally and externally, you got to collaborate with them, then obviously you will end up spending a little more time internally for that week to get that bang on, that banger proposal out, where you know, you're sharing all the information that you know, all the media solutions or all the solutions that you've actually come up with. Then in that case, probably one of those weeks could be spent more internally coordinating and collaborating with all your internal teams. So it all depends. But at the beginning of any career or in media sales, I would always encourage team members to be out and about and in front of your clients.
I think that's a great call. I totally hear you around that, you know, particularly early in media sales, the disproportionate amount of time should be spent externally, building your profile, speaking with customers, prospecting, uncovering new business. What about as it plays out over a week, you know, is there a specific flow that you see working really well across a week? You know, for example, a salesperson who spends Monday internally in the office versus being externally focused in the middle of the week, or maybe they, you know, they're out in the morning and then they're back in the day. Is there anyone you've seen who does great work in terms of setting up and managing their ideal week?
Again, I mean, let's start with Monday, first day of the week. Again, this could vary. I've seen some of the best media salesperson break down their Mondays this way, where beginning of the day could be more of internal planning. It's extremely important, Jamie. I personally feel it's extremely important to also review your previous week's performances, the goals that you had set, how far along have you been able to achieve them. Setting goals for the current week could be the first thing that you do in the morning. If anything kind of follows up or moves into the new week, it's extremely important keeping in mind the priorities. Where do you list them in terms of those goals that you have set for yourself in this week? It won't be a bad idea to possibly start your Mondays or a little early, make your entire day a little longer, starting Monday a little early, stretching it a little bit in the evenings, just so that, you know, you have an extremely strong head start for the remaining 4 days of the week. So Monday mornings could be spent more in terms of planning, reviewing your performance of the previous week, goal setting for the entire upcoming week. And I've seen a lot of my sales team members who've done exceptionally well for themselves and continue to do so have these practices. Again, late morning, early afternoon could be spent in some internal team discussions with important team members from the creative team, from the programming team. Again, I'm speaking from a point of view of radio sales, because you interact a lot with your creative team members, your programming team, because when you're giving integrated media solutions, you know, you end up with a lot of conversations with your creative teams. So the afternoons could be spent in prioritizing some of those clients and discussing the ongoing campaigns. Also, it's very important to share some insights of the previous campaigns with your team members, your creative teams, in terms of how those campaigns have fared, getting feedback from a client, sharing it with your teams internally, what worked, what did not work, what could we have done differently on the same campaign. Late afternoon, we can focus on the client follow-ups. Any conversations which were incomplete or you had to go back on in terms of more information, some follow-up calls, fixing and confirming meetings for the week. Usually, what we as a practice over here we do is we plan our week by Thursday, Friday. We start planning for the next week already, setting up tentative meetings. You know, and we can firm those up late Monday afternoon, just so that come Tuesday you can be up and about. You can hit the ground running, have those meetings, and start connecting with your clients.
You know, it's funny hearing you say that. It's amazing how much internal stakeholder management is now part of the role, isn't it? You know, particularly in the world of radio, but I'm sure in a lot of media. Managing those internal relationships, being able to engage different departments, coordinate all these different stakeholders to work together and collaborate on responses to brief. It's an interesting sort of relationship management role internally as well as externally. What I find really interesting, what about what you said there too, is that the best planned day in media is often subject to change. You know, it's very easy to sit there and have an open calendar and schedule a perfect ideal day that we want to have, but we have those things happen where a client might call with a late request, a campaign that you sold may have had an issue with the wrong material running. How do you sort of coach salespeople, you know, when they're trying to obviously run their week and make sure that they're doing the right activity, how do you coach them around tackling this type of kind of constant interruption or distraction that's a natural part of the role?
Adaptability, I think it's extremely important. And, you know, client feedback, client concerns of any kind is extremely important. I think you need to be a very good listener. You need to have effective communication skills. You know, communication is the key. Acknowledging the situation, first of all, and providing reassurance, most important at such times. You know, transparency would builds the trust at the end of the day. Prioritizing the urgency, you know, a quick assessment of the urgency of the client's request of the campaign issue can definitely determine the priority levels. We need to collaborate internally immediately on such kind of issues, work closely with internal teams to find swift solutions, swift feedback, coordinating with them internally to, you know, assess the situation and what kind of, you know, solutions we can come up with effectively. And fortunately, radio allows you to do that. You know, because it's an immediate medium, you can make changes in a campaign midway, in the campaign communication. So radio has that flexibility. It gives you the opportunity of adapting, changing, or correcting some sort of, you know, any communication that probably is not working at the moment, unlike any other medium, where it's, you know, fairly difficult to do that. You need to be flexible at such times with your schedule as well, you know, because you often work with a planned week. And when such an issue arises, it's very important to be slightly more flexible, reorganizing your tasks to accommodate urgent client needs. It's extremely important. This might involve, you know, some less time-sensitive activities can be put on hold, put on the back burner, and attending to those client concerns is extremely important. And I think, you know, hence I'm saying once again, to be able to acknowledge the situation, it all stems from that. The moment you acknowledge the situation, you provide that reassurance to a client, I think, then you're committed to going all the way and, you know, resolving that concern, that issue. And with that, it's extremely important that we also develop sales. A salesperson also develops these problem-solving skills, because these are actually skills at the end of the day. It's very important to understand, address issues promptly. Not everybody can do it. You know, it's very often when clients call you up, during such times, they're hassled, they're worried, they're troubled, it's their money at stake, you know, the campaign is on, they might be completely paranoid, and, you know, you should be able to, you know, manage that situation, calm the situation down. And these are skills that one needs to develop over a period of time. And it's extremely important to be a good listener at such times. And of course, most important, analyzing the root cause of such issues. What's the learning out of it? How can we prevent such issues once again? It's extremely important, and implementing those preventive measures, you know, in campaigns which are getting planned so that similar issues don't come up, identifying those concerns, those issues. It's extremely important for us to identify at the right time so that we don't repeat them again.
It's a really good call. And I think you're right, because there's often a lot of stress and anxiety that comes from a client issue, A, because you've got to deal with the issue of an upset client, which is never fun. B, because it takes you away from the day-to-day or what your goals and objectives are for the week. But then I think the third part of it is also that it can really derail you longer term if that becomes a repeated issue and you don't spend the time to appropriately address it. So it's a bit multifaceted, isn't it? It's all well and good to have the best intention for the week, but these things can and do arise regularly. And it's important that we all acknowledge that and have an approach to how we're going to tackle that. Hey, this is Jamie. Thank you for listening to this episode of the podcast. I just wanted to jump in quickly, because if this is the first time you've heard of the podcast, or if you're an infrequent listener, you might not necessarily be aware about what I do. I'm actually the global sales director for a company called Boost Media International. Now, we are a revenue generation consultancy. So what that means is we work with some of the largest and most successful media companies on the planet, all around the world, and we specifically help drive their revenue. So we work with them to build out revenue enhancement and revenue generation programs. The way we do that is obviously very sophisticated. We've been doing this for a long time. And a big part of my role in the business is to identify and connect with new media companies that might want to partner with us. So if you work for a media company, and I know there's a lot of people who listen to this podcast internationally. If you work for a media company and you'd like to learn more about what we do, even if you'd like to maybe connect with me for a quick conversation to see whether what we do could be right for your business, so you can then pass it on to your sales leader, or if you are a sales leader, consider passing it up the line to the executive leadership team, I'd be most happy to do that. Check it out. We're at www.boostmedia.com.au. And you can find my contact details there. Alternatively, you can contact me on LinkedIn and navigate your way to the website there. But in 2024, I'm really excited and interested to connect in with different people around the world who work in this wonderful industry. So if this sounds like it's something for you, feel free to reach out. I'll tell you more about what we do. Amjad, it's the morning of Friday. We're nearly at the weekend. We're looking back on the week that was. What are some of those, I guess, those commitments that a media sales professional might make to you at the start of the week as their sales leader? Like, what are those non-negotiables that a media sales professional needs to ensure that they've done that week before they conclude the working week and move into their weekend?
Jimmy, some of the non-negotiables for any media sales professional at the end of a working week would typically include client follow-ups, ensuring all our communications are addressed, all the mails are sent, follow-ups are done, which helps actually in having a conducting ourselves and promptly all the messages have gone out, all the emails have gone out promptly. This helps in maintaining an extremely strong relationship with our clients. A pipeline review: assess the status of your sales pipeline, identifying stalled deals. Why are they stalled? What's taking so long for the conversion? Any opportunities that need attention. We have developed in our organization, we've got some fantastic CRM tools. We've got some very extremely good, effective reporting systems that have helped us over the years. We've refined them over the years. And these are like ready reckoners where open an Excel sheet and you have everything in front of you in terms of what needs to be done. What are your priorities? What are the follow-ups which needs to be done? What are the proposals that needs to go out? Usually, we get so caught up in our day-to-day work that very often salespeople do not refer to these CRMs to probably, once a week or maybe twice a week. If these habits become every day where you're referring to your CRM, your tools, your reports, whatever works for you, if they are referred to on a daily basis, can be extremely helpful. Sometimes you may just forget an important email that needed to go out. However, these kind of reports and tools at your disposal can always be extremely helpful. Completing necessary paperwork, again, proposals, documentations, deal structures of any kind, ensuring that they are accurate, well written, well thought out, thoroughly, just so that there is nothing that's missed out in terms of a commitment, is extremely important. Reviewing your weekly goals, assessing your achievements, identifying areas of development of self-development is extremely important. Any new trends that you've come across, reading up a little more about it, and understanding it and seeing, can we adapt that? Can we use that in our day-to-day working? Goal evaluation, extremely important. And Fridays could be your best day because you have a whole week of work behind you. You know things that you've done, so you can always reflect on whatever has happened, whatever were the high points and areas to improve. Again, internal communication with all team members, all departments internally, which are usually involved in your functioning. Sharing those relevant updates, information with internal teams, always helps in ensuring that everyone is on the same page regarding a particular client or a campaign. In case if a campaign has a phase 2 to it or a phase 3 to it. So the transition to move from phase 1 to a phase 2 can be very seamless and smooth. So information flowing back internally is extremely important. This can always be done at the end of the week. And of course, organizing, planning your next week, your tentative meetings, goal setting for the next week. I think these are completely and absolutely non-negotiable and should be a habit, a practice for any media salesperson on a Friday a morning or a Friday evening. It could be the last day, last thing that you do on a day.
Yes, I agree with you. I've always felt like there's a real tendency from salespeople, particularly if it's been a big, busy week, that they start to wind down sort of like lunchtime, post-lunch, early afternoon, and it becomes very enticing to go and throw things to your to-do list on Monday. I'll pick that up next week. I can do that next week. And what I've seen is the high performers, first and foremost, to your great point, they're exceptional at making sure that all the campaigns that they've got in the can are going to be delivered as prescribed. You know, they make sure their material is updated. They make sure that the clients have been updated if anything's launching. There's no loose ends. There's no outstanding requests or anything that other departments are waiting from them. But what I've also seen is people who spend really focused time sitting there setting the intention for next week, writing their to-do list. Some people I've seen even prospect on a Friday afternoon. You know, I've posted about this on LinkedIn before that Friday is a fantastic day to cold call. You'd be surprised how much more relaxed people are and how much more willing they are to take your call and talk to you. So I think Friday afternoon in particular, it's either a very easy time to just cruise and relax into the weekend, or it's actually a really critical part of the successful week for a media sales professional. And I think with a bit of focus and discipline, that midday till 5 o'clock on a Friday can actually be the most important window in an entire week in terms of setting you up for success. So it's not to be overlooked. Amjad, I want to jump into the listener question now.
I can't ask my sales manager that.
This one came via LinkedIn, and I think this was a great one to cover off because it really feeds into the topic we're talking about.
Hi, Jamie. I just finished reading Atomic Habits by James Clear. It's a great book about the power of habits. What are some of the best habits for media sales professionals to have? I'm keen to make sure I set myself up for a great year.
Great question. Habits. What are some good habits that fare well for a media sales professional?
Jamie, my views on this is constantly working on yourself, improving yourself in terms of your knowledge, your communication skills, being aware of what's happening around, following trends. Is extremely important to be able to articulate your thoughts, your views in the most simplest way to a client, just so that it doesn't complicate a campaign objective, is extremely important. Apart from that, in terms of your time management, your planning of the week. In terms of prioritizing your meetings, I think are some of the crucial and extremely important habits that one needs to. And again, this only comes from practice. You need to be constant at it. You have to be consistent at everything that you do. Identify things that are working for yourself, and if you're consistent at it, I think it just becomes a habit, and then I think you're good to go.
It's a great point. You know, the one thing I was thinking about with this answer too is there's a lot of great work habits, but just great personal habits are a massive part of this too. And what I mean by that is, like, particularly things like sleep and exercise and diet and just taking care of yourself, making sure that you're in the right mindset and that you feel healthy and energized. I think any habit that makes you feel more energized and makes you feel more clear-headed and potentially in a sort of a happier, more uplifted state, I think that's actually a massive part of this business because so much of it's mindset and so much of it is dealing with things like rejection and stress and pressure and you know, there's a lot to balance and a lot to juggle, and it requires constant top-ups of energy reserves to do this job. So whilst I think there's probably some specific habits we spoke about that are relevant to media sales, I think just good habits that give you more energy and make you more resilient would be the ones I would recommend for this person as
Absolutely.
Well.
Absolutely. I agree with you. A positive mindset, surrounding yourself with like-minded people, It's very important that you have, you surround yourself with people who have similar mindsets, similar likes, similar goals, similar aspirations, you know. Very often, you know, you become, the sum of the averages of the kind of people you surround yourself with. So it's extremely important what kind of people you are surrounded with. It really helps.
It does. It does. And I think particularly, and you know this from running a sales team too, you know, all it takes is one or two negative people on the floor and they somewhat infect the rest of the team and they can really bring the overall mood and energy down. As they say, the saying I used to hear a lot is misery loves company. And so it's vitally important.
And I've seen it way too many times over the years. So I totally agree with you.
Well, that gets us to the end of the episode, but I don't want to let you go before you tell me or us a little bit more about Red FM. What have you guys got going on? What's happening this year in 2024 with your team?
So as a network, Red FM currently is one of the largest networks in the country. We have about 69 radio stations across 67 markets. And over the years, we've also added a lot of other verticals, revenue streams into our network. Revenues coming through activations, live events, concerts. We've also developed our entire digital side of business extremely strong, where we have a strong social media presence. We're creating a lot of audiovisual content as well for our clients, and quite a lot of exciting things that we've lined up for the new financial year of 24-25. We also have some of our RGs that have been doing our on-air presenters that have been doing extremely well. We're developing their personalities where we can use them as on-air influencers or digital influencers to create some exciting media campaigns for some of the leading brands that we work with. So there's a whole lot in store this year.
I'm really, really excited to see how that all goes. I think radio is one of those amazing mediums that just constantly innovates and has the ability to integrate with new platforms and new technologies, and it's, you know, such a resilient, dynamic medium. So I'd love sort of hearing about all that stuff that you guys are doing and the way that you're converting that now into revenue. So I wish you the very best, Amjada. Thank you for being with us today, and I certainly would love to have you back on the podcast at some point in the near future, but for now, thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me, Jamie.